Ron feels about Jonestown.
One of the next issues in this panel is from Ron Sines. He's one of the very creative people in our carpentry shop. There are many experimentations going on in our favor of Jonestown, such as making our own clay brick, our own smokehouse, experimental herbs, and all different kinds of work to build some innovative carpentry items with us.
So, Dennis, the next reaction you're going to get had some children who formerly had problems learning. I'm always going to tell how they are doing now. Dennis says that we had open house in school yesterday, and it was really something to see how quickly the children are learning. Law, one of her sons, the teacher tells her, has to be asked to be put away his math book and go out and play. He's at junior high level in algebra and he's only in the fifth grade. He used to have such a frustrating time with math and all of his other studies. He talks all the time now and answers any questions that you might ask him. I know that this has been a very dramatic change, and this is true of many of the children in Jonestown. To give you some background of something else we are doing, we have amateur radio communications, which gives us communication with people from many parts of the world. This is called radio cue-sewing in radio language.
It's beautiful to talk to people all around the world, and regardless of differences, people in this community found a lot in common. As a result of our descriptions of the beauty of Guyana, because of their interest in what is being done in Jonestown, many people want to come and visit. A doctor who is the coordinator of over 1,000 doctors in the medical network came to Guyana, and he really loved it. He also came to Jonestown and stayed for several days. He went back to the States and praised the project, the Jonestown Project, in Guyana all over the States. He is a cancer cytologist. Another doctor that we met through the radio is Albert Greenfield, and Robert and Ralph is going to tell you his reactions to Jonestown.
That's right, Sharon. Albert Greenfield is one of the consultants that have helped Dr. Lawrence Schultz on a difficult case that he had to handle in an emergency. And these are his views. I wish to give praise and credit to Dr. Schatz and other members of People's Temple Church for their magnificent humanitarian efforts that you are making. I feel certain that if there were much more organizations with devoted and sincere people such as Larry Shack and members of your church throughout the world, this planet would indeed be a better place upon which to spend one's life.
My own reactions to Jonestown when I first arrived were that it was a spectacular experience.
Right.
And of course, coming 5,000 miles across the country, you don't know what you're going to find. But my first view of even the road into Jonestown was the road was lined with long rows of banana and citrus trees on either side. The whole vista of serene natural beauty is really breathtaking. You see brightly colored butterflies, some startling yellow against the brilliant greens, exotic plants with many types of leaves, and all varieties of lush ferns everywhere. The kind of ferns, by the way, that you probably pay $20 or more in a store. Look at the distance, you see hundreds of acres of crops as far as your eye can see. I was really amazed by the emotional experience of space, as if I had never looked out and seen land that wasn't marred by garish advertisements and rodents and razor blades. I felt as if the more I looked, the more my hectic, anxious mind became lulled into harmony with the natural scenery.
Right.
When I first arrived at the Jonestown headquarters, I was hailed by hundreds of hugs. It was an overwhelming experience, thousands of miles away, yet given the warmest welcome I'd ever known. Everybody looked so happy and relaxed, and I felt right at home. We would love to have you visit, by the way, anytime. We prefer you come on the weekends so the production will not be stopped, and we have visitors every day. Ralph, you might tell your reaction.
Wow, well, my own personal personal view of Jonestown, that it is an unspoiled, fresh frontier, unpolluted air, natural scenery. In short, I guess you say the last frontier in the world. Diana Highlands are gorgeous, and anyone who hasn't seen this is really missing something. I'm really grateful to be living there in an unpolluted atmosphere and beautiful environment, which is an opportunity to establish a lifestyle that allows each person to fulfill their best potential as a productive human being. We have a structure that gives each person an opportunity to use their creative and individual ways, which will benefit the whole community, which is what
everyone
wants and enjoys. We feel that there is a sense of community and a cooperative spirit here. It represents the real answer for peace in the world. Not that we feel that we are special or have the only answers, but we have seen that it works for us to live in peace and cooperate.
We hope that all attempts in the world for alternatives to violence will have an inspiring effect on others. We feel cooperative living is one of these alternatives. And through this kind of lifestyle, you can serve your fellow man because of all the energy when you find when people put their efforts together. The hinterlands have great potential for agriculture, water power, and many other resources. We have become environmental determinants through this kind of life because we find that the environment is what develops a certain kind of person. In an environment of sharing and mutual work, you begin to become more of a caring and sharing and sensitive person. And especially the children who grow up from the beginning in this atmosphere have the opportunity to become people who can be a hope for tomorrow. Ellie, maybe you can give us some of the reactions that you have had up in Jonestown. How long have you been in Jonestown?
For 2 years.
And so you've been able to see the project develop. It was quite small when you first came, wasn't it?
Yes, Jonestown has developed a lot since I've been here. When I first got there, I think there was only maybe 5 or 6 main buildings, and it's really developed a lot. When I first got to Jonestown, my first reaction was it was like a painted picture that you might see on Disneyland or something like that.
I noticed that feeling, too, as you go down the Kaituma River. It almost seems like a Disneyland because you see bright colored red birds fly through the sky and land and trees look as if they are flowers and trees. And as you come into Jonestown, you see rolling hills and beautiful colors. Even the soil seems to be bright colored rust or red. And in terms of the people, it's quite a dramatic change, isn't it, Ellie, of people working together than a lot of us have experienced before. What do you feel about that?
I feel there's a great sense of camaraderie.
That's a good way to say it. Very well said. Well, it's about time this evening to end the program, and we've enjoyed communicating with you, and we'll try next week when we will be with you again. We want to say very sincerely on the part of Comrade Jim Jones and every one of us in People's Temple, peace and love to all of you.
Attention, attention, attention. The latest news of this day, remember People's Rally promptly. You should be listening now. Wherever possible, those who pass the test on all the news, not only the required news that was included in a tape of last People's Rally, that must be passed, that portion, or you have 5 extra classes to assist you catching up. We know some good people who need assistance. We must know how to deal with the conspiracy. You have to listen to those tapes, and some have not bothered. You've not used your spare time at all to listen to that tape of how to answer people when they come from outside. Just be safe. The conspiracy is very deep and very vicious. So vicious, right now I don't feel like I want to go in to all the things they've done back there. Please take my word. I can prove it to you later when I feel up to discussing those kind of people. Presently, it makes my chest so heavy just to think that people, to save their own skin, would become so evil and lie so bitterly and try to get other people, black against black, white who used to date black, I say they had feelings for black, to even work to establish not only a climate against People's Temple, but a climate of racist hate against all minorities. That's what our ex-members are doing. So I don't want to discuss it this time. You know, they've tried to place even murder charges on people who were not even killed against people like McIlvain. They've gone to every limit. No hesitation to lie, just out and out, patent, bold-faced lies. To me, it's incredible. I wouldn't do it if someone plucked my eyes out. I wouldn't talk about even people who were trying to be socialist who didn't help me or hurt me, in fact. I can understand saving one's skin at the price of others. It's so unacceptable to me, I don't know how to put it into words, the idea of being a fink. It's beyond anything I could describe. Being a fink would be like killing the little babies I love. There's nothing, no human act, that is bad enough to compare to being a fink, selling out others, lying on others, helping conspiracies. That's all that comes to my mind. I love babies so much, it would be like killing babies, or torturing, even worse, torturing children, something impossible for me to consider. I wish you would brace your own consciousness for the same kind of discipline and character, so that if you ever have to take journeys, and you will as the future gets brighter for socialism, and no doubt it'll become more safe, but in case in traveling you are faced with the choice of sell out or be tortured. And to think these people that weren't even threatened with torture, some of them just bribed, were being kind to them. They were just bribed. Later to be turned on by the same people that are using them now. And at worst, all they were threatened with was a few months in jail. It blows my mind. Well, I didn't get on the air to talk about that. You can hear the other daily news that was given this morning under the tent. Rather the school pavilion, number one. You could ask for the tape on how to deal with public relations there. Those of you that want to take both tests tonight so that you won't have to take the next test, listen to the news that I'm giving now. And all should try to listen just for interest's sake. The World Conference on Racism in Geneva discusses the many, many, many prisoners in South African jails. It's staggering. USA did not show up for more than just the matter that the United Nations had condemned Israel as being racist, as Zionism being a form of racist and religious bigotry. The fact is that USA did not want to face scathing questions that a vast majority of the assembly at Geneva, the United Nations World Conference, wished to pose about U.S.'s treatment of her own minorities. One out of six of USA, nearly one out of five of USA citizens, are a minority, either Indian, black, Asian, Chicano. And that racism in USA has gotten so serious that in fact, in 37 different states, blacks and Indians have disappeared after being tortured and killed in jails. This is a matter of world knowledge. Of course, racism is perpetrated by capitalism. That's why it's relatively unknown to socialism. As institution, it is dead. You find some holdovers in Kampuchea. But as socialism progresses, even no more than 20 years as you see it in Cuba, you find racism totally disappears from the scene. Because the institution of capitalism necessitates racism. What is capitalism? The right to make as much profit as possible. Racism extracts profit from the segment of the population that is considered inferior. The capitalist does not particularly care which segment is considered inferior. Their working class, the white, is also considered inferior. But in USA, blacks earn half that of their counterpart poor white working class member. Black middle class earn half, and the Indians earn only a quarter. The same holds true of the Chicano, who even earn less. Many of them, because of their papers, their fear of being sent back to Mexico, work for a whole day what some white workers get for an hour. And then in Africa, as the United Nations pointed out, U.S. imperialism, monopoly capitalism, gets black workers for 30 times that of what they have to pay for white workers. Yes, I said from 10 to 30 times less pay goes to the black, the Indian, people of color who work in the capitalist industries that are all USA names, everyone you'd recognize whenever you see a picture, if you remember, on television or the movies about Union of South Africa, you saw all the known corporate names in that apartheid concentration camp environment. Chrysler, Ford, Texaco, all of them, you saw them. It's painfully remembered. The same holds true throughout Africa. The worker wage does not come up to even that of a black American. That's why many authorities in the United Nations feel that USA will use genocide, because they can still get a few black leaders of mineral-rich nations, pay them off so they can put monies in deposit in Swiss banks, and maybe later kill them when their usefulness is over, to exploit their own people for even 20 times less than they pay the black worker in USA. So why, if you can get in the West Sahara, the Union of South Africa, wages for even 1/20 that you pay the poorest black worker, he gets 1/2 that which is paid the poorest white worker, why keep him around? USA doesn't have the resources anymore anyway. The minerals that USA monopoly capitalists, the few rich ruling elite need, are all in Africa. Well, they're starting some factories in West Sahara. Not only are they going to take the mines and minerals, resources that USA needs to maintain its riches, but they're going to manufacture them right there on the spot. So that'll mean many, many more people will be put out of jobs in USA. Racism is capitalism. There is no difference. Racism is a part of capitalism. That's why it is unknown to socialism. Maybe it will show its head for a little while. China's barely a quarter of a century old. They still distrust the Russians. The Russians distrust them. But both China and Russia have 50 to 60 different nationalities living inside their own country peacefully. And both carry on good relations with people of various colors throughout the world. U.S. capitalism, monopoly capitalism, and racism is synonymous. Capitalism could not make profit without some form of racism. Black and brown people are the easiest to put at the bottom end of the labor pole, the totem pole of exploitation, of capitalist profits and greed. And it will never stop, because capitalism's having enough trouble as it is. So racism has to get worse. That's why military endeavors are being taken at this moment, says Radio Moscow in Rhodesia, where U.S. have poured in with their lackeys Nearly 20,000 mercenaries, who are really U.S. armed servicemen, are trained from France and England at U.S. bases. Most of our own U.S. boys who are over there killing black children trying to keep the mineral-rich nation of Rhodesia that is 97% now under the control of its own people, the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. They're killing and torturing and murdering so that U.S. capitalism can survive. You don't need to expect racism to improve. It'll only get worse until finally they'll have to be eliminated, because capitalism cannot guarantee full employment and full profits and luxuries and creature comforts that it has to have for its ruling class and then the petty bourgeoisie, and particularly the upper middle class bourgeois that they need so desperately as a buffer between them and a total insurrection, a revolution. So any thinker, any free thinker, would realize that racism is the sister. It is the blood that goes through the capitalist veins. Capitalism could not survive without racism, a class differentiation, class structure. Otherwise, you have equality. And capitalists are not about to share. You know how the love of money is. When you think of J. Paul Getty putting up pay telephones in his own living room, fighting with his own grandchildren over inheritances that he didn't even need when he already had billions. You can think of the recluse Howard Hughes, and his money gives him no comfort. Even perhaps the CIA had him bumped off after using him, because he was closely connected with the CIA. Ex-CIA agents and FBI agents were always hired by Howard Hughes, the richest man in the world at that time, to do dirty work for the CIA and the Mafia. The Mafia paid off the CIA, the CIA paid off the Mafia. And Howard Hughes and his gambling casinos and all of his other endeavors, Hughes Aircraft, were all fronts so that this marriage could carry on. But he died worse than a pauper. Even a pauper occasionally in U.S. capitalism will get a doctor. He died of starvation without a doctor. You'd think capitalists would wake up. But one thing, as I told you this morning, that they cannot do, they cannot see the future. They are blinded to the future. Their greed and lust only thinks of the day. That's why capitalism has its own seeds of destruction inherent in its process. UN Secretary Kurt Waldheim said he is very skeptical of the Camp David meeting planned by Carter between U.S., Egypt, and Israel. Said it's not representative of the Arab states. A peace that does not involve all parties is not a peace. He said USA is trying to carry water on both shoulders. The UN Secretary, head of the United Nations, Kurt Waldheim, is becoming increasingly critical of United States policies. Brezhnev, General Secretary of the USSR Communist Party, meets the Bulgarian First Secretary again for the last time in the Crimea, as one by one the Soviets are calling in their allies, all of which their concerns are, we do not know. There is speculation of mutual defense for the foreboding war that they expect to break out, nuclear war. They have mutual concern over the Middle East, it said, Radio Moscow said, and TASS said, in the new separatist moves, the United States trying to divide Egypt from the Arabs and make a separate peace settlement. They're concerned deeply about China's hegemonistic policies, its third world doctrines. It's going to bring about a nuclear war. Even though TASS said all signs point that way, it is only the human thing to try to avoid such a catastrophe. They're concerned about China making inroads, according to her doctrine of three worlds, which is her philosophy, into the second world and increasing her own power. said frankly that USA should be more concerned because USA is getting in a difficult financial position. China wants it that way, making her desperate and causing her to resort to a first-strike nuclear war. Radio Moscow came out in full support of Vietnam. China has not had any border confrontations for the last 28 hours with Vietnam. World Conference on Racism in Geneva, that is sponsored by the United Nations, includes well over 100 countries. Brezhnev's statement called for the abolition of racism, but he said that means the abolition of capitalism, because racism and capitalism are twin brothers. Israel and U.S. are boycotting the conference, of course, as you know. They are afraid they will be attacked for their own internal racist policies, which are becoming flagrant. In USA, the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazis, various white racist groups, and then the open racism of police in the streets and in the prisons, where people of color just disappear after being tortured to death. Swaziland, there's an inquiry of the death of a civil servant in a police station. He was supposed to have died of pneumonia. Also another 20-year-old man, Masonovic, a prisoner, who died a violent death. Another example was a prisoner, all in one day, thrown out a fifth-floor window. Said he jumped to his death. So conveniently. You know, Swaziland, look it up. Let that be the mystery place for you. You know, in Africa, you know where to find it. Ralph Abernathy, first to appear before the House Special Committee on Assassinations, which was reluctantly called after years and years of pressure, said Martin Luther King's death, he had full knowledge, was a conspiracy involving the FBI, the government, and the Memphis police. He claims they also helped the criminals escape. I've said that for years. You don't send most of the Memphis police by radio signal, one in the wrong way. You don't get that done if you have just a lone assassin. And if there were just a lone assassin who had no education, how did he get so sophisticated to get false papers for five different countries, bank accounts in several nations? Oh, too much, that's too strange. The Angolan Friendship and Solidarity League thanks the USSR for its help in Angola. They were requested to help Africa knows her true friends, said Radio Moscow, as more and more they're leaning to Cuba and the nations that Cuba and USSR have freed, which are really free because the Soviet Union and Cuba do not have any property. They will not take any property or form any of their own socialist enterprises on any soil that they liberate, quite different from capitalism. Today marks the 31st anniversary of Indian independence. A joint message of friendship was signed again, in spite of Desai, who looked like he was leaning towards Western imperialism. Terms of friendship seem to be doing very well between the Indian subcontinent that has nearly 800 million people and the Soviet Union. The former Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi, was a strong ally of the Soviet Union. But India still has a closer relationship with the Soviet Union than it does any other nation. Again, the United Nations head, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Waldheim, says the September conference in Camp David will not lead the way to a just settlement in the Middle East. Said U.S. has proven its bias in that direction. Soviet committee offer labor reports. 18% wage increase has taken place in the last decade in all jobs. Cost of living increase? None. It's gone down 1.5%. So the Soviet wage earner can buy now nearly 20% more with his dollar than he did 10 years ago. That's in all phases of work. Professions, industrial workers, the technical skills, the farmer. Also, the retirement pensions have been raised by the same amount, the 18% that I mentioned. 70 million people will get pay raises, whereas no increases in prices for food, rent, public transportation, and in fact, these items are going down. 17 more million will get pay raises in addition to the 18% for the end of 1978. Jobs are guaranteed for all graduating youth, even from technical school or high school, if they do not choose to go on to the colleges and universities, which are all free. It's hard for us to relate to free college education when in the United States it costs $6,000 a year. And the tax bill, even for the middle class, to get relief on their college or get tax benefits for their college expenses, is having a difficult time getting through Congress. And there's no relief for the poor. The poor know their children can't go to school. Brezhnev, in meeting with the Bulgarian first secretary of the Communist Party, both countries accomplished strong ties of solidarity, strong policies between the two to cope with any kind of military maneuvers of Western imperialism headed by USA. They both registered grave concern over the Middle East, Africa, and the Chinese course that has been adopted with the treaty with Japan and in Vietnam. Though they praise China again for its domestic communist practices, they try to again persuade China away from its doctrine of three worlds, the part that says nuclear war will come, as the Prime Minister now says, within a year. Prime Minister Wei of China says it'll come within a year. So said Radio Moscow, it blinds the Chinese to any possible chance of saving the billions and millions of the world that will die in the first few seconds of a nuclear war in North America and Europe. The prime role of the Warsaw Pact will be the preservation of peace, but it's obvious, said the voice of Sweden, that the Warsaw Pact is getting itself in readiness just in case USA is precipitated by China into nuclear confrontation, as even U.S. News and World Report, the only magazine not under the influence of the CIA, a very conservative magazine, as strange as that seems, says that that is exactly what China is getting USA to do, to start a nuclear war with USSR. World Conference in Geneva on Discrimination. The Moscow delegate said the conference is important to world progressives and has historic significance, even though USA openly flaunted the assembly by not attending it, along with its lackey Israel. Moscow denounces racist policies of South Africa, and so did the entire conference of over 100 nations, demands isolation and boycott of Rhodesia and the dread fascist regime I was talking about in Union of South Africa. Feels the non-aligned African countries will play an important role at the conference as they are taking strong demands for total independence of Namibia, absolute liberation of Rhodesia, and giving it over to the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. Total abolition, not just integration or working with, but total abolition of the racist white regime of Voerster, who was an open ally of Hitler in the U.S., and he is now the prime minister, a dictator, racist dictator of Union of South Africa. Peking policy, said Radio Moscow. China terminated their agreement with Vietnam and Albania. Africa should know that China is bringing the world close to nuclear war, in spite of her recent help to Africa. Radio Moscow appealed to the Africans to try to persuade China that there would be strong setbacks to such nations in Africa that cannot produce their food, because it will be perhaps a decade before the world will reindustrialize, and so those nations in Africa that depend on minerals and resources will be hard put. Only nations that have rich agricultural lands will survive. And of course, we have the richest Guyana is the only nation in the world that can vastly outproduce its population, I mean feed more mouths than its own population. With 83,000 square miles, we have only 700,000 population. Hardly a city the size of San Francisco, in an area almost the size of California. In 1960s, 300 projects were promised in Africa. Only one-third have been completed. The railway between Mali and Guinea has not been done, charges Radio Moscow. Peiping Radio, however, has different word on that. They say they have kept their commitment to Africa. The USSR denies that they have kept their commitment, according to their doctrine of three worlds. They promised 300 projects and only 100 have been completed. But if they have not been completed, it's obvious to the world that China is stepping up the completion of all of her promises as fast as she can. She's trying to abide by her doctrine of three worlds, which she takes literal. If there's the slightest chance of peace, China doesn't see it. She believes nuclear war is just as real as the rising of the sun. China's interest is to have hegemony, of course, says Radio Moscow, to be the leading communist exponent after USA and Europe digs out of the rubble of nuclear war. Radio Moscow appeals again that it's not likely that any life in USA will survive because the US government has not provided for its people, and strongly warned that the Chinese main concern was survival of their brand of communism, and they're better prepared to do so in any nation other than Moscow, the Soviet Union and Sweden. China, according to Radio Moscow, admittedly, according to Moscow, could save 800 million of its billion population. Even China says they could save only 700 million. They would have to sacrifice 300 million. But that would still make them twice the size in population of the Soviet Union and USA. USA, Egypt, Israeli talks. Radio Moscow said the US is going to act as a participant and not as a mediator. Motivation is a separate deal that threatens world peace. Moscow harangues more about that treaty threatening world peace even almost than China's what they call hegemony policies. U.S. intends to put forth this proposal. U.S. is determined, wants military bases and military presence in the Middle East, which will cause World War III, said Radio Moscow in terse warnings. Lebanon says the U.S. wants to supply Israel occupation, replace it, that is, with U.S. outright military occupation. I wonder what U.S. troops they're going to depend upon. A lot of disturbance in the U.S. economy. All the Memphis police and firemen fighting with the National Guard, and now the Army having to be called in to arrest them. I don't know that USA can occupy unless she's got some willing slaves elsewhere, and it seems like China is kind of disturbing her alliances by weaning them away from USA. That is her doctrine of the Second World, the European capitalist nations, and the rich capitalist nation of Japan. Kurt Waldheim, the head of the United Nations, told Geneva this meeting will not pave the way for a just settlement in the Mideast, but will bring, indeed, the world closer to war. He condemns the new pact. Also, Kurt Waldheim condemns the Chinese and Japanese pact as endangering the peace and stability of the world. He said that Japan should not have been interfered with. An obvious reference to the United States, who insisted that Japan keep the clause about anti-hegemony even when China had agreed to having it removed and the Japanese wanted it removed. After the signing of the ceremony, he said the Soviet Union angrily denounced the accord. In more sharp terms, said Kurt Waldheim, than I have seen the Soviet government renounce anything, charging that it conflicted with peace and posed a threat to Asian stability. Kurt Waldheim said such irresponsibility on the part of Western powers, again a sharp reference to U.S. imperialism, must be dealt with by the rest of the world. He said, we cannot afford to have a nuclear war that will destroy Europe and North America. So many people are talking nuclear war these days that it seems like every other breath, that's what you hear coming out of their mouths. That's the ending of the day's news, other than the fact that the little nation of the Bermudas, the Bahamas rather, have arrested a U.S. shipping vessel, a brave act for a small black nation. They are trying the people as criminals for invading their fishing waters. It's been a new policy by USA to say that each nation can claim 200 miles off their coastal area as their waters. So USA has quite a red face. The small islands of the Bahamas have arrested a U.S. shipping vessel. Thus ends the giving of the news today. Morning news you can hear also at this time will be replayed. Thank you, and I love you very, very much. I can't say that enough. We can't tell each other how much we love each other. All smile. Let's practice it, because the people of the United States that can be saved depend upon how much we smile and how friendly we are, and what kind of answers we give about the truth and beauty of this place in the next few days. Much love.